Hello everyone, it's Lorna Johnson here with Making Palmy Home. Welcome to my guest today, who's Haifa Albustami. Welcome, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So it's lovely to have you on the show today. I'm looking forward to talking to you and finding a bit more about how you came to Palmy. But let's start with, how is your life today in Palmy? What do you do on a day-to-day basis and what are you involved with?
Well, I currently work as an ESOL teacher aide at Takara School. And so I work 4 days a week because I've got a baby, 18 months old baby. So I work just come part time and then I take care of the family.
Wow. So 4 days a week and the family. And so apart from the baby, you've got other children, I believe, haven't
yes,
you?
Yes, I've got 3 children. So I've got 2 girls. Lillian is almost 11. Yeah. Maya is 7 and a half. And I've got Yezan, who's 10 months old.
That's lovely. So I bet the girls are spoiling him, are they?
Very much, very much.
So how did you get into being a teacher aide? Was that your area of training?
No. I'm qualified as a dentist. Right. But unfortunately, I never liked it. So I've got the degree. We came here and then I thought, oh, I don't want to do it. But then I explored different areas. And actually, a friend of mine mentioned being a teacher aide. And I thought, nah, it's going to be hard. And I'd look different to the kids, especially with the younger ones. And then I thought, oh, I'll just have a go with it. And I always wanted a job that's just part-time because I mainly focus on the children. So I went to my daughter's school, and it was Hokofero School. And I went in and I said, look, if you want somebody to help out, I can help out with the kids. And wasn't a month, and they called me and they said, oh, can you pop in today? And I worked there for 2 years.
Right.
Yeah. And then I shifted to the other school, to Takara School, in with more kind of specialty in teaching ESOL, which is English as a second language for refugee kids. And it has been in July, it will be about 2 years there, working there.
Okay. So 4 years altogether doing the teacher aid. So you must enjoy it.
Yes, very much.
What do you really like about it?
Oh, the children.
Right.
Yeah. I love working with children. I've never knew that I love working with children. But yeah, just being with children and all the cuddles and
That's nice.
But at the same time, doing the work and doing the teaching and helping them out.
Yeah. So I suppose English is not your first language,
no,
is it?
No, it's not.
Is it even your second language?
It is my
second language. So do you feel that you've got some bit of empathy with the children about, you know, learning English and being in a situation where you're trying to learn through English? Because it's just be a bit tough for some of those children.
Well, I feel it. But at the same time, I was taught English at school before, like in an Arabic. So my first language is Arabic. In an Arabic speaking school, I was taught English as a subject at school.
Right.
But I've never spoken English with anybody because I did not have the confidence of speaking to someone.
Yeah.
But with the kids now, I always, other than the literacy and the writing and reading they do, I always support with speaking.
Yeah.
So even if you don't know how to speak or even if you make mistakes, just say it.
Yeah, just give it a go.
Yeah.
It's a confidence thing, isn't it?
It is. And practice.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us a bit about how you came to Palmerston North. Where did you come from and why did you choose to come here?
Well, I didn't. My husband did.
Yes, well, I'm in that exact situation myself, so totally with you there.
So we used to live in the United Arab Emirates, so we used to live in Dubai. And my husband was working as a lecturer in university, and he always wanted to seek a higher education. So he got, it's a funny story, because he got 2 scholarships, one in Germany and one in New Zealand.
Right.
And he was like, so where do you want to go? And then somebody was like, oh, German will be a bit hard for you. So we thought, okay, we'll go to New Zealand. So open the map. Where is New Zealand? I was looking up next to Iceland. I was like, oh, it's not there. And I called him. I was like, where is New Zealand? He's like, just go down here.
That's great.
Looked at the map. I was like, oh, looks cool.
Yeah.
And we packed in less than 5-6 months.
Wow, okay.
We packed everything and we came here.
So you'd never been to New Zealand before, didn't know anyone here?
Never, no, no, okay. No. And I came here with a very young family. So I had the girls. Lillian was just before 4,
right.
Just under 4, and Maya was 8 months.
Okay, you must have a good spirit of adventure then to take on something like that.
I don't know. I found it like this, but it was the time of change.
Yeah.
It was that that moment is like, we need a change. Mm-hmm. So we came here and Rafi, my husband, was studying a full-time PhD.
At Massey, I assume?
Yes, yeah, yes. Yeah. And full-time, I mean 8 to 8.
Oh,
he was,
right.
Yeah,
okay.
He was newly living
so
here.
Lots of lab work and
yes,
all that kind
yes,
of stuff.
Yes,
yeah, yeah. I'm also familiar with that scenario.
So I had to stay with the girls at home. Yeah.
So how did you feel in those first few weeks here then? Did you feel a little bit lonely or a bit isolated, I guess? Because if you didn't know anyone, it must have been a bit tough.
Yes, yeah. Well, it's more of an anxious, scared of what's going on.
And
it was my first time leaving, let's say the Middle East or leaving my culture and being in a different culture. So it was a bit scary for me.
Yeah, so a bit of culture shock as well as being in a new place.
Yeah. But we were supported because we lived at Massey Villages, which is like family units for international students who come and live with their families. So we were supported by different families around us, and they were all from overseas.
Right.
All from different parts of the world. So we all kind of shared the same background in which we are not from New Zealand, but we all want to bond together.
Yeah, and there's that solidarity, isn't it, when you're all in the same boat together, really.
Yeah.
So how long ago was that now then compared to?
7 years.
Seven years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So after the PhD then, there was no thought that you might go back to UAE or somewhere else? You liked New Zealand at that point?
Yeah, well, the plan was to stay for 3 years because that's the time for the PhD.
Mm.
And when I came here at the beginning, I was like, that will be 3 years and I'll be on the plane.
Oh, you've no idea how many people have said that to me. And indeed, I was in exactly the same situation.
It's funny.
Yeah.
After exactly 1 year, I went back home and visited the family and I was like, it doesn't feel like home again.
Mm.
So Palmy feels like home.
So had you changed, do you think, or had home changed, or you just adapted maybe?
I think I've changed.
Yeah.
It took me 1 year to realise that, it's where my family is. Home is where my family is. So wherever it is, I'll just stay there. And then after a year, I said, let's just stay here. Let's just live here. Because that year showed me how pleasant Palmy is and how comfortable and how relaxing Palmy is. Because coming from Dubai, it's 2 million plus people live there. And coming to about 80,000, it's quite relaxing.
So it felt like going to a very small village to you, I expect.
Yeah.
So when you sort of look back on living in Dubai, are there things that you particularly miss, or can you find most of the things that you want here? Or,
well, we all can agree on the food,
right?
Yeah. the food is the most thing you miss.
Of course
family. If I can just shift everybody I know, my family and friends, and just put them here.
Bring them here.
Yeah.
I think it's difficult for all of us. I mean, I've obviously got family in the UK.
Yeah.
And, you do feel that the distance is quite long, especially with the COVID restrictions, I think.
It is.
Made
us
all reconsider that. But
yeah.
Have family been able to come and visit you at any point?
My mum came about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
She came and stayed for a month because Rafi used to travel quite a lot. He was actually in the UK at that time.
Right.
So he would spend weeks away. So she came and stayed with us. And Maya was just turning 5, starting school. So she kind of witnessed that with us. And it was quite exciting.
Oh, that's nice for her.
Yeah.
I think sometimes the grandparents do miss out a wee bit.
Yes. Unfortunately. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, with every choice we make in life, there's some advantages, some disadvantages.
I know. But I make sure to take a lot of videos and send them lots of pictures. And
that's good. So how are the girls finding it? Do they remember anything about life in Dubai?
Yes. Like, we go there every couple of years. Yeah. We try to kind of stretch it as much as we can and enjoy life as much as we can and play the tourist parts. They miss their family. They miss their grandparents. They miss their uncles and aunties. But with COVID now, we need to kind of settle here a bit. But the girls love living here.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So you're just telling me this morning they've been doing, Lillian's been doing swimming sports. And
yes.
So they're right into all of the activities and everything.
Yeah, we try as much as we can to involve them with lots of sports activity and cultural activities and community activities as much as we are able to.
Yeah. Well, I do often see you out and about. I must say something. they get out to quite a lot of things. So that's good. In terms of language, are they still speaking Arabic? Are they keeping Arabic up?
Yes, they're bilingual. Yeah. So Lillian is the eldest one, is more confident in speaking. Maya loves to speak, but she is more of speaking as a second language. So Arabic speaking wise is a second language. But we're trying to keep their language going. We only speak Arabic at home just to keep that language going. And whenever they're stuck, we shift to English and things go well.
And so are there any Arabic classes that they can go to or anything like that locally? Or is it all on you to try and keep that going?
There is. But the girls weren't so keen to join in. COVID lockdown strict last year. So it was like, just stay at home. But I try as much as I can to teach them at home.
Yeah.
They've got Arabic books and we watch Arabic videos, but it's still hard when you want to learn a second language for them. Their writing and reading in Arabic is not easy.
No, because I mean, with the different script and everything, it's quite, it's not like going from English to another European language. It's a complete shift. So, tell me now, were you originally from Dubai? Is that where you were born?
No.
So tell us about where you were born and where you feel you're from.
I always find it hard to answer that question because we're originally Palestinians. We're from Palestine. I was born in Kuwait. Mm-hmm. I'm a Jordanian citizen and I lived most of my life in Dubai.
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah, so it's from everywhere.
Yeah, I think... I mean, I've spoken to Palestinian people before, and I think, you know, there's definitely that identity as a Palestinian, no matter where you're born, that stays with you, doesn't
it? Yes. Yeah. And I reinforce this for the girls.
Yeah.
I was not born in Palestine, and I've never been there. Mm. My father was born, but he was just born, and then he's never visited.
Yeah.
And both of us cannot actually go there.
No.
But I always say that to the girls, you are Palestinians. Mm. You are from this city and from that town. And I open up the map and this is where you're from.
Yeah, I think that's a really important part of maintaining that identity, isn't it?
Yes.
And particularly so for a people that are not on their land, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
And I think that that's, I think there's lots of parallels with that, with perhaps some of the Maori experience in New Zealand.
Correct.
So do you find that there's good understanding there between the two?
Yes, I do. And I actually work in a school that's mainly Maori.
Yes.
And I'm so proud of this. Mm. I think we share a very similar culture.
Yeah.
In terms of us and them being native to the land.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we try our best to keep the language, keep their culture going and teach that to the kids.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So in terms of the school, do you find that, you know, the kids ask you questions about where you're from or are they just not?
Yes.
They are interested to know a bit more about
always,
you?
Because I wear the headscarf or the hijab, the kids always look at me as like, what's that you're putting on? And I answer.
Kids are very, very out there, aren't they?
They're and just I don't mind. I really, I always say to my friends, the Kiwi friends, I always say, I don't mind questions. Yeah. I don't feel offended. Just shootout.
Yeah.
So according to the age of the kid, yeah. I answer.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's too cold. It's like, I wear it because it's too cold. When it's too sunny, it's like, that's for the UV. But I always say that women in my country,
yeah.
or most women, wear this mm-hmm. when they're outside. I don't yeah. go into details because they are little kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're interested to know. That's
yes.
interesting.
And yeah. I always say that I'm from, because officially I'm from Jordan.
Yeah.
And we open up the map and I show them on the map how far it is from New Zealand.
So it's good learning for them as
yes,
well, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it is.
Really
it
is. Is. That's awesome. Okay, well, we'll just take a break now. We'll play that very lively track that you've suggested that we play. So I'm looking forward to listening to that and we'll come back in a minute. So we're back on Making Palmy Home with my guest, Haifa, and we've been talking about some of Haifa's work at school and what it was like for her coming to New Zealand and particularly Palmerston North. several years ago. So based on your experience now, do you think there are things that you would advise other migrants to do or things that you found helpful that helped you settle?
Yes, I think just introduce yourself and be open to the people. Before I left home, somebody said, love people and people will love you back. So I always tell everybody, don't focus on the negative things. If you feel good about people, people will feel good about you. I don't care what you think of me from the inside. I just care about what you're giving me outside.
Yeah.
I remember when Lillian joined school. This is our first experience with New Zealand schools. And I went in and was like, looked at these mums at pickup time. I was like, oh, okay.
And were you the only Arabic mum with a hijab? Yeah.
And I went in, I was like, oh, nobody looks at me and nobody talks to me. After a few weeks, I became very good friends with all of them. And we had a lovely group of mums there. And somebody said, well, Kiwis are shy. Kiwis are always afraid to offend you with questions. Yeah. So I always say, start up the conversation.
So it took you making the first step, did it?
Yes.
You had to go in and...
Yes.
I think you need
to start a conversation, even if it's about the weather or about anything. Just start it up and don't worry so much about your English. Because I find lots of people here worrying about, oh, I'm not saying the right thing. Nobody cares.
No,
I've got a strong,
That's true.
And I've got a strong accent. It's like, nobody cares. If they can't understand you, they would just go on with the conversation. If they can, they'll just say, oh, just can you repeat what you said?
Yeah, I think that's right. Oftentimes people feel, especially when English is their second language, they feel that they are not speaking well enough.
Yep.
But as you say, the main key is making yourself understood.
Yes.
And I think that's that reflection that Kiwis are a little bit shy. I think that's quite an interesting reflection.
Yeah.
Because if you don't make the first step, then it's going to be hard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
It will. I always say, look, English is your second language. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be perfect.
No.
Just flip the coin. If the other person whose English is the first language want to speak to you in your language, they won't speak it perfectly.
Yeah.
But you just need to make yourself understood.
Yeah, no, I think that's important. And so do you have a good number of Kiwi friends now that you've settled here for a while?
Yes. Well, as I said, I've got these Kiwi mums. And then I've worked in two schools and I've got friends and colleagues, very good friends from both schools. And I'm very proud of them. And they've supported me during lots of occasions, let's say.
Oh, that's really nice to hear, though, also, you know.
Yes.
Because it does, you know, goes both ways, doesn't it, you know?
Yeah.
You're putting yourself out there to try and introduce yourself to people, and it's nice to hear that people are responding back. And
true.
Being friendly, which
yes,
is good.
True.
Certainly that's what that was my experience when I came to Palmerston North, is that people were generally friendly and accepting.
They are. They are.
Much more so than I had expected, honestly.
Yeah.
So I know that there's... quite a little Palestinian community gathering in Palmerston North now. And last year, I believe, we had a Palestinian day celebrated in the library.
Yeah.
So can you tell us how's the community building and how are you involved with that?
Well, it's a great community and they range from being in New Zealand for 20 plus years. And we actually know some friends who came from Palestine a year ago.
Right.
So they're quite diverse, lots of different ages. It's a really good community. We always try to keep, as I said, to keep the language going, introduce the children to different cultural aspects of our country. We keep the food going, so the food's there. And we celebrate together the different occasions. So Ramadan, which is coming in less than 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We try to keep the gathering going. So this part of Ramadan is just going together for iftar. And the Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha, we try to keep that going. So it's a kind of... interacting with the religious celebrations and the cultural celebrations going there.
That's good. And we've had quite a few Eid celebrations now that are for the public of Palmerston North to come to. And I feel that that's worked really well. What's your impression of that?
It is. It did. I always... the girls always watch things over Christmas, and we celebrate the chocolate part of Christmas.
<That's>
Put up a tree, but we celebrate the chocolate part. Yeah. And I always want to for them to celebrate their occasions and have fun and just feel that this day is special for them. So we take the day off at school, and the schools are very supported, very supportive. We do what we can to just making them feel that this is a special day, and then everybody needs to celebrate it.
That's lovely. That's really lovely. So with the baby and the work and the family, I guess you don't have a whole lot of spare time, but what do you like to do in your spare time, if you have any?
Oh, sleep if I can.
Yeah, I think most new mums would say that, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Just chill. Have some time for myself. Go out for coffee with friends. They keep me, these three children keep me busy 24/7.
Yeah.
So imagine. Just like have a coffee and chat with a friend, it'll be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's lovely. I think that's a great spot to end on. So, look, thank you so much for your time. I've really enjoyed talking to you, and it's been really interesting. And I hope you've enjoyed it too.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's a great opportunity.
That's awesome. Thank you, Haifa. So, you've been listening to Making Palmy Home with my guest today, Haifa Albustami. And you can catch us on live shows of Wednesdays at 3:30 or the repeat on Sundays at 1. Or the podcast is on npr.nz/show/making Palmy Home. Thanks.